please take your seats. And I just want you to shut your eyes. And I just want you to sit there and focus on Jesus. Maybe that means you're going to see him as he was in the Gospels, healing the sick. Maybe you see him as the Son of Man, clothed in humanity. Maybe you see him on the cross. Maybe you see him resurrected in his glory. Maybe you just see him as the King of Glory. And just take a moment just to love him, be still in his presence. It's just a great sense of his presence. We just want to so appreciate him. Thank you, Lord.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I just feel, I've been feeling that strongly all worship time, just to pause for a moment and just come and rest in the shadow of the Almighty, close to him, in his presence, sitting at the feet of Jesus.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, would you just minister the presence of Jesus to us right now? Just let everybody know, Lord, his presence around our lives. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Mary chose to sit at the feet of the Lord, and I think every so often it's just good to stop, sit, rest, be quiet, be still, focus on him. He's amazing, amazing. Yes, thank you, Lord. Just tell him you love him. Just tell him you love him. Tell him you're grateful. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. He's a good, good God, isn't he? Wonderful. Hey, we felt this morning wanted to set a scene and, and really enable people to encounter Jesus as Savior and as Empowerer in the Spirit. And I think that happened for a lot of people, certainly the Baptizer Empowerer part. I know many of you were being ministered to this morning. And this afternoon, we felt that the Holy Spirit wanted the emphasis to be on healer and coming king. So what we're going to do in this session is we've just seen some amazing healings in these last months. And we're going to, later on, share some of those powerful testimonies. We want to do just a little bit of teaching around healing, so to build faith. And then we're going to see the sick ministered to. And then we're going to just spend some time at the end of the afternoon just in worship of the King, okay? Just in worship of the King. And I have an expectation the King will come. The coming King, although that refers to him coming back to earth, how many know the King can come when there's a people that focus on him? And he comes with glory. He comes with a manifest and weighty sense of his presence. So I'd certainly love the afternoon to be like that, that we see Jesus heal sick people, but above all, we finish it by worshiping him. So that's what we're going to do. So honey, you're going to kick us off with this?
You know, prophetically, we are living in a season of breakthrough, and a season of many suddenlies has begun on the earth as well. And this means that breakthroughs that we've kept on interceding for manifest suddenly. There will be sudden breakthroughs in deliverance and healing. We're going to see people set free from oppression and sickness. We have entered a realm of no restrictions and no limits. That's what I felt the Lord saying for this season. No restrictions and no limits. We've also entered a season of miracles like we've never seen before. Miracles yet you've kept on interceding for will manifest suddenly. So, you know, God always sends his word prophetically to encourage us. And just that thing about demonic oppression. Now, I know that mental illness, there are many different causes of it. There are sometimes straightforward biological causes and you just sort out the biochemistry of the brain and it's fine. But there are other types of mental illnesses that are a result of demonic oppression. And you know, I just really feel strongly to mention this today, that at the earlier on this year, I had a couple of dreams. See, I had some dreams. I have lots of visions too. And it was one of those God dreams, because it was so clear. And in the dreams, both times, I had mentally ill people coming to me and asking to be healed. And in the dream, they were healed. And I took, and I felt the Lord say that these are things that God is wanting to set people free from. And the following weekend, where David and I were ministering, we felt to release that. And God, there was a lady who had suffered from clinical severe depression for 10 years, and God set her totally free. So, yes, give God a hand. God is so good. I hadn't planned to say all of this. And I know that there are those of you here in Caboolture that work with mentally ill people. And I feel God wants to anoint you today and empower you to set the captives free. That's one of the things he wants to do. I mean, we're going to minister to each other and minister healing for those in need. But just a few brief principles about healing. You know, I love Jesus' modus operandi. He is inclusive. And, you know, all his disciples participated in ministry. And I just share a few scriptures from Luke 9 and chapter 9, chapter 10, and Matthew chapter 10, just a few verses. And just take note of what Jesus did. When Jesus had called his 12 disciples together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases. He gave them authority to heal every disease and sickness. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And then he didn't just send out 12, he then sent out 72, because he's inclusive. And he said to them, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Snakes and scorpions speak of the demonic realm. So, in other words, Jesus gave them power and authority to do the job, and it was all demons, every sickness, all the power of the enemy. And that is what he gives to us today as well. And he commanded, and he gives you and I the same command. As you go, preach this message, the kingdom of God is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, which means various kinds of skin conditions, if you look at the original Greek, and drive out demons. And to the 72, he said, heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near. So we see, if we this morning we're speaking about being a witness, testifying of Jesus, telling the good news, preaching the gospel. And we continually see it's accompanied by healing the sick, setting people free from demons. And Jesus' modus operandi has not changed. His power and authority and commands to us are still the same today. And just finally, I briefly look at what are our qualifications to operate like Jesus operated. If we go to Mark 16, Jesus said to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And these signs will accompany those who believe. That's our qualification. Those who believe in Jesus. It's as simple as that. They, in my name, will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on sick people and they will get well. Then his disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by signs that accompanied it. That is what is to be the norm again in God's church, that he's in process of restoring. And when it comes to miraculous signs, we see the qualification in John 14, verse 11 and 12. Jesus said, at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me, so what is the qualification? Believe in Jesus. Anyone, that's all of us, who has faith in me will do what I have been doing, and he will do even greater things than these, because I am going to my Father. And I have discovered that Jesus loves to use anyone and everyone. All he asks of us is to say, yes, Lord, I am willing and I dare to believe in you. My faith is in you. And he would love to minister healings, miracles, and setting people, casting out demons through you.
Good. Okay, we're going to have a look at Matthew 16. And I'm reading from the New Living. If you want to set your application to that, it'll come up on the screen as well. Matthew 16. We're just going to look at the how-to before we do some ministering to the sick this afternoon. Matthew 16, verses 16 and 17, and verse 19 we'll be reading. This is a time where Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you're blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you lock on earth will be locked in heaven. Whatever you open on earth will be opened in heaven. You know, this is the English translation of the Greek. Actually, in the Greek language, it reads differently. It says, whatever you bind on earth shall be, having been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be, having been loosed in heaven. I think when the translators looked at that, they thought, that's clumsy in English. We'll just translate it like that. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, which then seems to suggest we take the initiative and heaven backs us up. But actually, when you go to the Greek original, it says, whatever you bind on earth shall be, having been bound in heaven. That changes the thing significantly. So it means like our job is to figure out what is heaven binding or prohibiting on earth, what is heaven loosing or allowing on earth, come into alignment with it, and then as we act on that, heaven will release an authority to make it happen. That's what Jesus meant when he said, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Figure out what is the will of the Father. Now, question, is it God's will to heal the sick? Emphatically, yes, because Jesus demonstrated what the Father's like. And I know there's a mystery element to healing, and I know currently not everyone we pray for gets healed, but I will refuse to build a theology. We were talking about this over lunch. I refuse to build a theology of defeat and failure around healing because I've seen some people not healed. My own wife, first wife Jane, died of a disease called multiple sclerosis. We prayed for healing for 25 years. And as you'll see, shortly or later on, as we share this afternoon, those prayers were not wasted. But the point is, I had to make a decision when Jane died. Am I going to now create maybe God doesn't heal everybody philosophy, or am I going to stick to the word of God, which says, I am the Lord that heals you. These signs will follow those who believe, because until the Western church gets that gruntiness back in our spirit of pursuing God, and I know there are people in this room that you've prayed for loved ones and they died, and you know, we left with that. And it's hard, it's a struggle to activate your faith again, to come to that place. I think God, every sick person I pray for, I have to have an expectation God wants to heal them. I just have to have that. And, you know, I've got a whole chapter in the new book of, I think there's only one copy left, is that right, Libya? You know, what about healing? How do you explain the fact that you've got faith, there's no blockers in your life, you've done everything right, and still someone doesn't get healed? And I took a whole chapter in my book to help explain that, and I haven't got time to go into that today. Suffice to say, I have to, and you have to, stand on the word of God, which says, his name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. David said, bless the Lord who forgives all my iniquities and what? Heals all my diseases. Until we believe he is the God that wants to heal all disease, we'll always have only partial success and breakthrough. And you know, there is a mystery element, because everyone in this room probably knows someone that didn't get healed. We all have those stories. But until in our hearts and minds we embrace a theology that he really is a good, good father, and sickness ain't part of a good, good father, you know, there are some parts of the world where they have 100% success rate in healing. Heidi Baker on Mozambique, 100% healing of deafness. Never remiss. Every deaf person gets healed. Yeah, I don't know what else they're seeing happen. Bill Johnson's church, Bethel, probably a 90% success rate with cancer because they're going after it. And so when Jesus says to his disciples, I give you keys, he's really saying, I give you authority. Because if you gave me the keys to your house or car, you would be actually giving me permission to enter your house or permission to drive your car. Is that correct? So those keys represent authority. Now the problem is that often in the Western church, we are not using the keys properly to release the power of God. We know we have them. If you're a believer in Christ, that he is the Savior, he's the Messiah, you believe that, then you've been given keys. I've been given keys. But we don't tend to use them. And Rob, did you drive here this morning? Have you got your car keys on you? Can I borrow your keys? Thank you. What kind of car do you drive, Rob? A Toyota. That's a good Japanese brand. Yeah, good, reliable. What's the model? A Yaris, yeah, not that's just a tiny car, but anyway, it'll do. And, you know, I was hoping for something bigger, you know, like a Camry or at least, you know, something like that. But anyway, I'll hang up. You, so are you, so are you. Oh, God, multiply this car. Let it be a Corolla. No, let it be a Camry. So suppose Rob has lent me his car, so this afternoon I can burn rubber all up and down Williams Road. Wouldn't that be cool? So, you know, at the end of the meeting, we... In a Yaris. Yeah, that is the realm of impossibility, isn't it? That definitely is the realm of a bad example, bad example. Perhaps I can go for a sedate putt-putt along Williams Road. You know, take me hours to get to the end. Anyway, you got something better? What have you got? Oh, come on. Yeah, I'll take the Honda. That's awesome. It's a Honda Accord. 3.5 liters. Oh, now I'm in heaven. Actually, I've got a solution. You have his, and you have his, and I'll have those back, and that'll be cool. Problem solved. All right, so suppose I go out to Jed's Honda with him, and it's locked up, and there's a little button there that says if you click that, it'll open. And suppose I go and I just hover my thumb over the button, but I hesitate, and I say, Jed, would you mind opening the car door for me? He would think that's a little strange. He'd say, no, look, you just got to press the button and it'll open. So suppose I go to do it again and I hesitate, and I hand the keys back to Jed, and I say, Jed, you've done this many more times than me. I'm sure I know it'll open when you press that button. He would think, those Kiwis, they're so besotted with rugby, their mind is just gone. It's just like it's gone. They've lost their minds. It's like, the Wallabies, we're playing the Wallabies tonight. I'm going to close in prayer for the Wallabies, am I? Gosh, they might need some help. Help the Wallabies not to win, Lord. Amen. Is that good? Is that a good kind of prayer? Anyway, getting back to more spiritual matters than rugby. See, you think that's crazy, but see, if I pray like this, Lord Jesus, would you please heal Greta and make her better, and Lord Jesus, I ask you to strengthen her and take away the sickness in her life. See, I'm handing the keys back to Jesus. He's told me, no, you heal the sick. So when I move from prayer to command, honey, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Receive your healing. The Lord Jesus heal you now and set you free. Can you see the difference? I'm releasing authority in that second way of ministering. I'm moving from prayer to command. I'm actually using the key myself. So who do I give the Honda back to? Oh, I better give it back to Jed. Better give it to Jed. He's got two. No, you can't have two. Do you want a Yaris, Debbie? You want a Yaris? Okay, the Yaris is yours. I've solved your problem. Now your church has to buy you a bigger car. That's great. Hallelujah. Problem solved. I'm glad I could solve that problem. Okay, let's have a look at the Word of God. Acts 9, verse 40 in the New Living Translation gives us an example of this. This is the time Tabitha is, she's died. She's a great woman of God. The disciples are very upset. They send for Peter, saying, would you come and pray for her? In Acts 9, verse 40, New Living says, Peter asked them all to leave the room because they were in a mourning, grieving mode. Then he knelt and prayed. Turning to the body, he said, get up, Tabitha. And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. Now, here's the question. The fact that he knelt and prayed, was that a good thing to do? This isn't a trick question. Was that a good thing to do? Yeah, it was. Because, see, prayer, which is really hands up, is as expressing our dependency on the Lord, saying, I can't do this without you. And it's inviting the Holy Spirit into the situation. So prayer is good. Okay, that's the first question. He did a good thing. Second question, did anything happen to Tabitha when he knelt and prayed? No. And if he'd stopped there, she would have stayed dead. It was only when he turned to command, using the key, says, Tabitha, wake up. At that point of command, authority is released because he's using the key, and she wakes up. So prayer and command. As one little girl said it, after her mum explained this to her, she said, oh, mummy, you don't only pray it, you say it. Have a look in Acts 28, verse 8, NIV. Acts 28, verse 8. I'm reading this time from the NIV version. It'll come up on the screen shortly. This was the time Paul is shipwrecked on Malta. And the governor looks after them, and the governor's father is very sick. It says in verse 8, that's the governor. The governor's father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him, and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. So what did Paul do? After prayer, he placed his hands on him and healed him. And that, we believe that in healing ministry. We put our hands on the part of the body that needs healing. If you can't touch that part decently, get the person to put their hand there. You can put your hand on top. If you can't even do that decently, just put your hand on their head or shoulder. God will sort it out. Because often when you lay hands, it's an act of faith, but sometimes you'll feel heat or they'll feel heat. Sometimes people will feel cold. We've had a lady up in the UK in St. Helens, an elderly lady, years of back pain, and we prayed for her, and she was completely healed. She said, when you put your hands on me, I felt icy cold all in my back, and the pain just went. And I guess medically, some injuries you put a heat pack on, and some you put an ice pack on, don't you? So that happens. So here you get this pattern that we have to move from prayer to command. It's no use praying, Lord Jesus, please heal them. I mean, sometimes God will answer that. But he expects his kids to be schooled in how to do this. And he expects us to know how to use the keys. And I think we, in the West, we keep handing the keys back to Jesus, saying, Lord, please do it. He says, no, no, I've given you the keys. You do it. You open that door. You shut that sickness out. You do this thing. And then that's when he went. I remember praying for a guy in a church in New Zealand. This was a few years ago. And he came up hobbling. And he had torn knee cartilage in both knees. I don't know what he'd done. He was facing an operation, but he could barely shuffle. He was in such pain. Torn knee cartilage. And that's a pretty serious injury. If you're medical, you'll know that. And so I just kneel down. I pray first. I said, Lord Jesus, would you please come and heal my friend and take away the pain in his knees. And Lord, let him be able to walk freely again. And then, of course, you don't stop there. I knelt down and I just put both hands on his knees. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I command these knees to be healed. Receive your healing. I command the pain to go. I command the injury to be healed. Now, what do you do next? What? Well, before you thank God, what do you do next after you've ministered? Test it out. You test it out. If it's a measure, you can't test high blood pressure or diabetes on the spot, but there's lots of conditions you can test out. So what do you? So I said, well, would you mind moving your knees, trying to do something you couldn't do before? Now, often in that moment of action, healing can flow. So he just starts moving like this, and I said, how's that feeling better? He said, it's a little bit better. I said, well, how much? 0 to 100, like 0 is no change, 100% you're completely healed. I said, I think it's about 10%, which wasn't much. So what do you do next? If you get a tiny little bit of improvement, what should you do next? Keep ministering. Is that right? So I said, all right, we're going to minister to you again. And this time the Holy Spirit said, pray like this. And so I said, the Father's love heals you. Never prayed like that before. But I said, in the name of Jesus, the Father's love and compassion heals you. And I just kept saying it. The Father's love heals you. The Father's love heals you. I think the Lord was trying to convince this guy, Father cared for him, and he wanted to heal him. And as this guy is believing that possibly this is Father's will for him to be healed and free, I stop and I test it out again. I said, how's that now? And he tests it some more. He said, I think that's about 50%. I said, great, shall we minister again? See, some healings, you just got to soak the person. Some are instant, complete. You pray once, power, they're healed. That's a miracle. That's instant. That's great. Other healings, you keep ministering because, you know, Jesus prayed for a blind man twice. First time, blurry vision. Second time, healed. Some people, you just got to soak and repeatedly pray. If you minister and nothing happens, just keep praying. So I say, okay, we're going to do that again. And I just kept at it. The Father's love heals you. The Father's love heals your knees in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And then I said, come on, I'm going to take you by the hand and we're going to walk. And he began to walk and he was a little bit unsure. And I said, as we're walking, the Lord is going to finish this healing. And he just got more and more confident. And by the time he was just, I let him go. He was walking freely up and down, 100% healed. All the pain left. And he was facing an operation that week. Sometimes you just got to stick at it. And, you know, we're going to get you to pray for one another this afternoon. And so what you're going to have to do is if you start ministering and nothing happens, you don't take no for an answer. You just do it again. You know, sometimes we've prayed over meetings because time is short. So we just pray a general prayer. Maybe God gives us a few words of knowledge. And I remember we were in one church in the UK where we did that. And there must have been 30 or 40 people standing for healing. I said, check yourself out. I said, who's been healed? Expecting to see 10 or 15 hands go up in the air. It's like two people put their hands up. Now, what you've got to learn to be is not intimidated. Not intimidated. So I said to the people, do we think that's good enough? Just two? They all shook their heads. I said, why don't we do that again then? Come on, people, let's have faith. And in the name of Jesus, we just released healing and spoke it and ministered this thing. And then I said, now how many of you have been healed? Another 10 or 12 waved their hands in the air. And as I was sort of finding out what it was been happening from the front, there's an elderly gentleman walking past me like this. And I don't know what the hang he's doing, but they're all going, oh, look at that, look at that. And I said, I don't know what's going on behind me. And the pastor said, he came to church tonight with two walking sticks. Jesus had completely healed his legs. He was happy. What I'm saying is you got to push in a bit. Now, Greta's going to come and share some amazing testimonies of healing. Now, here's the deal. Don't be entertained by these. Let your faith be quickened. And if you find a testimony that speaks to your condition, at that moment, believe for your healing. And I believe the Lord will be healing people even as the testimonies are being spoken. Amen?
Because what David mentioned earlier is that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. But a testimony about Jesus healing someone prophesies that healing can be reproduced. And we've seen lots of this as sometimes just as we're teaching on healing and giving an example, or as we are also people are giving a testimony. People with the same condition are being instantly 100% healed. So listen up to this. We were, as I say, a couple of weeks ago, we were in Melbourne in Wine Press, and there were many people that were healed, and these are just a few of them. And the students were praying for each other. We ran a seminar, a healing seminar, and they were just ordinary believers praying for each other. Well, I always regard myself as an ordinary believer. There was this elderly man who'd suffered a minor stroke 3 years before, and as a result of the stroke, his entire left side was weakened, and he could no longer run like he liked to, and he couldn't walk normally either. And as one of the students prayed for him, and the next thing we saw, he was running up and down, and God had just completely miraculously restored all his full strength and function to him. It was wonderful. And he went and repeated it the next day on Sunday in the service, running around the hall. It was a large auditorium. There was a lady, she had suffered back pain for 20 years and 10 years shoulder pain. They were chronic, niggling injuries that just absolutely harassed her. God 100% healed her. And in addition, 2 months before that, she had lost a husband, and of course her heart was broken with grief, and David and I know what that is like. And she was touched by Holy Spirit laughter in another session, and she just testified that, you know, just she was full of the joy of the Lord in spite of, you know, her huge loss. Then there was another pastor. She had a couple of things wrong with her as well. She had severe low back pain. It was caused by a damaged disc, intervertebral disc. And she also had carpal tunnel syndrome in her left wrist. Now, she'd had an operation for the carpal tunnel on her right one. And she was due for an op now on the left. God touched her, completely healed it. And so she was absolutely over the moon with not having to face another operation. Just last weekend on the Gold Coast, in this situation, we were just releasing en masse healing over the people. And there was a lady who suffered autoimmune disease, and for the last 4 years, this as a result of this disease, in her one foot she had such severe pain in it that she couldn't put her weight on it and had to walk permanently with a crutch all the time. And as we released healing anointing, she just felt God's power and over her body, and her whole body started shaking. And then she discovered, but the pain in my foot is gone. And it was such a joy. She just wept. She was so moved by God's goodness. You know, she was just walking up and down, and she just went up a full flight of steps afterwards, which was no crutch. The crutch was gone. And the whole of the next day, we were seeing her morning and night. She got it 100% set her free. And you know, miracles are acts of kindness. And so that's why she was so touched by it. There was a young man there who had torn a meniscus in his knee. And earlier on that day, before the seminar, he had actually tried to jump like this and to just see how his knee was, and it was agonizing. He couldn't do it at all. And as we released healing, and I had a word of knowledge about musculoskeletal injuries and knees specifically being healed, he tested it out again, and he jumped, and he did a number of jumps, and he was 100%. All the pain had gone. We've just seen so many knees. Even a lady with, this was in Plymouth in the UK, she'd had bilateral knee replacements, so there was metal in the knees. The one replacement had totally failed. They were going to try and operate again with a very poor prognosis. And she was in such pain, you know, she was really hobbling. And just before the meeting, I had a vision of a person kneeling, and I had a word that God wanted to release miracles in knees, and three people stood up, and she, you know, and they, she was one of them. The other two were also healed, and we released a creative miracle into her knees and commanded the metal to dissolve in that knee, and we didn't tell her to, but she just decided to go and test it out, because the one thing she hadn't done for 15 years was kneel. And there she went down on her knees and she said, I can kneel. I mean, this was a, you know, imagine trying to get something off the floor from out under a cupboard and you can never kneel. It's, we take it for granted. And she was able to move her knee like she couldn't have before because of the metal replacement. And she was 100% pain-free. And the next morning at church, she came to church and she was radiant. She was walking around the whole church, kneeling and showing all her friends, you know, at what God had done. But just all body parts. Just do a couple more. A lady with facial nerve damage, she'd lost the, all sensation. She's had total numbness on the one side of her face for many years. The Lord miraculously fully restored all her sensation 100%. And you know, nothing is too hard for God. On the South Island, we were ministering in a city in New Zealand, and a lady had heart failure. Her heart was functioning at about 40%, and the cardiologist has said there was nothing they could do, so it was just going to keep on going down. And the Lord just gave us such faith to dare to believe Jesus. Nothing is impossible for Him. You and I can't heal, but Jesus can. It's by His power. And so David and I prayed for her and released a creative miracle of a brand new heart. We were there a year later, and you know, she just came up. She was just this glowing picture of health. You know, when your heart's not functioning well, you get very tired, you get a bit breathless, and she didn't look good the year before. And she said that her cardiologists had given her a clean bill of health, and they had fully discharged her. They couldn't explain it medically, but God had given her a brand new heart. Isn't that amazing?
Just two or three more. We were in Plymouth this year in the UK, and the associate pastor's wife came up and said, do you remember praying for our six-year-old daughter last year? And I did vaguely, and she reminded us that this little girl had been suffering with hearing loss. She'd had repeated ear infections. She had holes in both eardrums. Her hearing was so bad that she had to sit right at the front of the church to hear the teacher. And so we prayed for her, and then, of course, we left, and we came back a year later. And so she says that that week after we prayed, the little girl was due to have hearing aids fitted. So when they went to the audiologist, mother said, would you mind if you tested my daughter's ears again? And when he retested them, he found they were completely normal. The hearing aids weren't needed. So God had done a miracle. And it's kind of like I met the little girl, or she brought the little girl up to us, and I said, you know, was that great? Yeah, oh yeah. It's like she was so nonchalant, like, well, this is what Jesus does, doesn't he? It was like it wasn't a big deal to her. We were up in St. Helens in the UK, where they're mad on rugby league. So I just mentioned the word rugby, and it gets them all frothing. It's wonderful. And and we were teaching on healing. Then we're getting people to pray for one another. There was a lady that had suffered from diverticulitis for more than 35 years. And that's an abdominal problem. And her symptoms every day, she had severe abdominal pain. She couldn't go out much because she had to make frequent trips to the toilet, so she had to be around the bathroom all the time. And when someone prayed for her, she felt different right on the spot. And the next day, she reported she awoke with no pain, and bowel motions were regular for the first time in 35 years. Complete healing. You know, and you may not have diverticulitis, but you may have other stomach problems. And then just this final one, you know, I said a moment ago that I'd, you know, my wife had had multiple sclerosis, my first wife, for I was probably more than 30 years, but we'd prayed 25 years for a healing. And you know, no prayer ever gets wasted. And after she died, I said, Lord, and Greta and I have been both saying this, we want to see people healed from neurological conditions, especially MS, and from heart conditions, which is what Greta's husband, Ron, died of. And we were up in Birmingham this year and just doing a school of the supernatural, getting the people to pray for one another. And then some days after the seminar, I get this email from a lady. She says, in January this year, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. At first, I was in denial, but then the symptoms began to increase. I had continual pain down the left side, weakness in my legs, slow thoughts and slurred speech, giddiness and discoordination. Although I was now fearful of going out alone, I made it to the school of the supernatural and went forward for healing. This was on the Saturday. I was desperate as the pain down my left side was awful, and I felt I could not live with it. As I walked away after the prayer, I noticed I was pain-free. I could not stop praising God. The next day, as I was going to the meeting, I suddenly realized I was walking fast and my legs were strong. The slowness of thought and speech has also gone. Hallelujah. Isn't that cool? God did it. We don't even know who prayed for her. It's just prayers, 25 years of prayer for MS. Doesn't get wasted. And you know the neat thing about that story? Because many months, 5 months later, I just checked how you're doing. Still doing great. She said, the funny thing is, though, that we had a medical insurance policy if I got serious illness. And when my GP rang about putting the claim in, he said, I've got all the forms for the claim. How are you doing? She said, well, I've been healed. I've been prayed for. I've been completely healed. Because he was a cynic, he wouldn't believe her. So he filled the forms in. She got a £15,000 payout. How about that? She's well. So not her fault. Doctor's fault. I love it. I love it. Hallelujah. You going to say something? Yes, you may.
Yes. I'm so pleased David shared that testimony about the little girl with hearing loss, because yesterday while we were just waiting on God, I really felt Jesus say this, that today he's going to heal deaf ears and he's going to heal someone with tinnitus. So if that is you, receive it.
So hearing loss or tinnitus. By the way, can you just check yourself out? You've been listening to testimonies. Just have a rig if you were in pain, if you had something that didn't move properly before, or there was some sort of condition that you can now measure. Just check yourself out. Take a minute to do that. I'm going to ask anyone that you've found improvement in your body, just as you've been listening, just raise your hand if that's you. Anyone? Anyone? No one? Okay. Yeah? Just if there's been change in your body, improvement, just as you've been listening to the testimonies, maybe you've acted in faith. You have? Okay. Sorry? The shoulder's a lot freer? Great. Praise God. Okay. If you need a healing touch, could you stand to your feet? Good grief, this is a sick church. How many from Kingdom Culture? Let's see who the sickest church is. Nah, you don't have to raise your hands. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay, what we want you to do is we're going to need to get people to you. So perhaps you could step into the aisle and some of you could come down the front. Could you do that? Just to, so we can get people to you more easily. I fear there's not enough people left, so we'll have to get you to buddy up. And okay, so just as long as you've got a bit of space between you, and you can use the aisles, you can spread out more, you can use the sides, that is great. And all right, can you put your hand up if you're standing for healing? Put your hand up. Okay, everyone else sitting down, can you go and find someone standing up? And you'll be outnumbered, so, but well, let's just get you there first. Just one-on-one. And then what we might need to do is get you to peer up, because there's far more standing than there were left sitting. So if you are sitting, Just go and don't do anything. We're going to talk you through what to do. Keep your hand up until someone's come to you, because in a moment you might need to pair up with someone else that has their hand up. Just if you're coming, just let the person know you're there. Okay. All right. Okay, you've still got a lot of hands up. So have a look around. Find someone else with their hand up and pair up. Can you do that, please? Just have a look around you. Find someone else. Keep your hand up and then buddy up. And you'll both have to take turns to pray for one another. Okay, keep your hand up if you haven't yet got someone to pray for you. Then when they come, put your hand down. If you're pairing up, you're in a pair, that's fine. Put your hand down. Okay, is there anyone with that gentleman? There's Hank. Hank's feeling rejected because there's no one gone to him. Oh, he's now got two with him. You're going to the three of you. All right, well, that's cool. There's another one up the front. So I see a couple of people with your hands up down there. Can one of you come down the front? One of you come down the front? No, that's okay. Sweet, if you can come here, we'll maybe pray for you. That'll be cool. All right, everyone got someone praying for. Okay, if you're standing for healing, okay, just listen in. If you're standing needing healing, which is the most of you, I want you to follow me in this prayer. Could you do that? Here we go. Lord Jesus, I ask you to heal me today. I ask forgiveness for any known sin in my life. I turn from it, and I turn to you. I also renounce over my life any hereditary illness that runs in my family line. Let it be cut off me and my descendants now in the name of Jesus. I also renounce any involvement in the occult or Freemasonry. In Jesus' name. I also forgive anyone I'm offended with. Now, could you take 30 seconds just to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you? Is there anyone that you need to forgive? He will bring to mind people. It might be no one for you. It might be good, but there might be one. There might be more than one. As people come to mind, just silently in your heart say, Lord, I choose to forgive such and such. Name them. And you just trust God to heal your feelings of woundedness. Give those to Him. But you're making a choice to release them to His justice. You're not going to try and hold on to that offense anymore, because unforgiveness is one of the biggest blockages to healing that there is. So just take 30 seconds, 40 seconds right now. So just follow me in this prayer now. Lord Jesus, I forgive all these ones just as you've forgiven me. Amen. Okay, now just lift your hands if you're doing the ministering. And again, that'll be a lot of you. We're going to pray anointing over you.
Lord, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you partner with us in healing, and it's by your power that people are healed. And right now, in Jesus' name, I release healing anointing into every raised hand. Receive healing anointing. I release gifts of faith, gifts of healings, and gifts of miracles to you right now. Receive. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, just look this way. If you are praying for somebody, and a lot of you are paired up, so you'll have to take turns, so one of you gets to be prayed for first, and then you can swap around. What you're going to do now is you're just going to simply ask the person, what's the condition they have? And how does it affect them? Don't do it just yet. Don't do it yet. Listen. What's the condition they have? How does it affect them? So, because you want to know if you can measure it. So they might say, listen, I can't lift my shoulder, or I can't raise my knee because my right knee, and there is somebody in here with a right knee problem. You're in pain in your right knee. Who's that person? Anyone? Yeah, over there. Okay, God's going to heal you. So what you're going to do is, what's the problem? How does it affect you? Now, they might say, I have high blood pressure, so you know you can't measure that, so you're just going to have to pray in faith. But if they tell you, I can't do this or I can't do that, then that's going to be a sign to you that when you've ministered to them, you can then measure that and say, well, look, after you've ministered, you can then say, could you mind trying something, move something, and then check it out. So what you're going to do is you're going to do hands up, pray. Once you've got the information, by the way, when you're answering those two questions, do not give a complete medical history. We will be here all afternoon, so keep it short. Keep it short. So once you've got the information, then pray, Lord Jesus, please come and do this. Then lay your hands on them, command healing, minister healing. Then at some point, stop, check it out. If nothing's happened, minister again. If there's partial healing, minister again. If there's complete healing, jump up and down, go yay, and then get them to pray for you. When you've finished, they then swap over and you can pray for one another. Okay, so we'll give you about 15, 20 minutes to do this, and away you go. God bless you. Let's go for it. You just keep getting prayer. Okay, why do we have this mentality? It all must happen on the first time I get prayed for. You just keep getting prayer for something. But a number of you have measurable conditions. You've now been ministered to. And I'm trusting that a number of you will find that there's improvement. How many have found there's improvement in your body? Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand, okay? Can you just stand up? There's been improvement. Like, say, more than 50% improvement in your body. Just stand up. Could you quickly come out the front? Just quickly come. Just want to find out what the Lord's done. Give Him the glory. Give Him the honor. So just come. You got 50% or more improvement. That'll be great. Just come and stand along the front facing the audience. And I'm just going to ask you to tell me quickly what your condition was and how is it now. So just tell me in about 10, 12 seconds what the problem was and now how it is now.
Couldn't lift my arm up like this. I damaged it rolling a log. And now I can. It's all.
And it's no pain, full movement. How many years it had been like that?
Oh, no, just recently in the last few months.
Last few months, but God has completely healed it. Wonderful. Thank you. That's awesome. What happened to you?
I have the neck pain. Couldn't sleep all night. But God has doing something great for me today. When I just... You can hear the click on my neck, but now I just praise the Lord for what He's done for me.
Awesome. That's wonderful. No clicking, no pain. Thank you. You can be seated. What happened?
Okay. I've had cancer about two or three times over the years, and I'm now on a drug that is an anti-cancer blocker thing, but the side effects are joint pain and aches, and especially if I sit for long periods of time, and I'm no pain now. I've been... had pain, but I'm okay.
Pain-free. Praise God. And Lord, we ask cancer-free. Cancer-free in Jesus' name. Let it be. Lord, we do ask cancer-free. In the name of Jesus, cancer be gone out of this body. We release His healing anointing right now. Just receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Just receive it in the name of Jesus. Just soak in that anointing. What happened to you?
Lost the lower hearing range, and all of a sudden I could hear people across the room talking to one another in groups.
Praise God. That is so good. Yay. That's wonderful.
Okay, so a week and a half ago I was diagnosed with polyps inside my right ear canal, basically meaning that I had about one third of my hearing. And I just believed that God was going to heal me, and I was like, you know, I just thought it was just going to take some time. But then praying with Ben before, and it's probably about 95%. So,
wow, that's cool. Thank you, Lord. That's great. What happened to you, sir? Hearing? Yeah. Has there been a change? You're saying your hearing is better? how much better. We just need the rest of you to be better, don't we? Bless you. Well, God's done something in his hearing. I don't know what, but let's just pray. Is this a stroke? Yeah, stroke. Stroke. Yeah. Jesus. Father, let your compassion heal my dear brother. I speak to your central nervous system. I speak to your brain in the name of Jesus. Complete healing. Restore, Lord. In Jesus' name. Stretch out your hands, church. Come on, let's believe together for a miracle. In the name of Jesus, I release the anointing of the Spirit over you right now. In Jesus' name, I command healing to this body. I command release. Father, bring healing. I command the brain to be restored, to be healed, to be made whole. In the name of Jesus. Strength. God, every connection, walking, running, talking, in Jesus' name, be healed. Just receive your healing touch right now. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in his ears. We just pray it'll spread to the rest of his body. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's take some steps with me. Okay, that's about the same as you were before. Is that right? A little better. You got a smile on your face. Something good's happening. He's a lovely man, this, isn't he? Jesus, just bless him. Even as he sleeps tonight, would you minister to him? Thank you, Jesus. What happened to you?
Hemorrhoid. Yeah. Yeah, it was just this week that I got hemorrhoid. Not good, but it was good. And it was annoying me this morning. It was started yesterday, and it was annoying me this morning on my way here. My friend Lynn and I don't know the other guy's name just prayed for me. Don't know his name. But yeah, it's better. Definitely. Praise God. To God be the glory, hey?
Yeah. Amen. I hope they were careful when they were laying hands on you. All right. The Kiwis, we're a rough lot. We're a rough lot. Greta is frowning. When we have Aussie preachers come, we call them rough lot over there as well. So I'm just getting you back. What happened to you?
Well, the main thing was my soccer damaged knee, yep, which Jared prayed for, and it seems to be better. Yep. But I won't know how much better until I go for a run or do a longer walk.
How many years have you had that?
A long time.
All right.
30 plus.
Well, there's been, you sense there's some change, but you just need to give it a workout.
Outside, I did some side kicks outside and it didn't hurt.
Well, that's pretty good. What's the matter? You're a cautious man, aren't you? Bless you. Side kicks are cool. That is awesome. Look, others of you may discover that you're healed, and when you do, just tell somebody, because you know, Jesus healed 10 lepers and only one came back to report it. And I kind of can't figure that sometimes, that people do get healed, they never tell anybody. And so just tell somebody in your church and you know, thank God for those. And there are others that are healed we don't know yet. And let's just keep praying and ministering to the sick, that the healing level will increase in Caboolture. Amen. Now, just before, we're just going to finish the afternoon. We've got about 20 minutes or so left. And we're just going to come back into worship of him. But Greta talked about some of you who work in mental hospitals and in that realm, maybe, you know, social realms where you're encountering people that are disturbed, perhaps mentally in some way, or suffer from a mental illness. If you're working in that area, could you just stand to your feet? Or you're just ministering in that area? Yeah, not working maybe, just you have occasion to, you know, mix with people that you're trying to minister to. And honey, do you want to just come? Because we want to pray for you. Because I felt like, we've said it before, Caboolture has quite a high level of mental oppression. And we're the salt and the light. Amen. And Jesus made a whole lot of people right in their minds and their bodies. And so we want to see that happen. So
I just really so feel this is Jesus' heart to release anointing to you, to empower you to set these people free. He's, you know, it breaks his heart to see them living the sub-level where he said, I've come that you might have life abundantly. Would you just raise your hands to the Lord? In the name of Jesus, I impart to you a release, anointing, and power to set mentally ill people free. I release gifts of discerning of spirits. I release power to set people free from demonic oppression. Receive that in Jesus' name.
And God's not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So you carry a sound mind. And I just see that you need to not underestimate the anointing that's on you to impart a sound mind to other people. You know, you can talk, you can share, but you can also minister and you can pray. You can intercede. And I release you to be ministers of a sound mind to people that don't have a sound mind in the name of Jesus. Let the anointing of the Holy Spirit be on you at a whole new level, that you'll even walk into places, you'll walk into rooms, you'll be sitting and conversing with people, and suddenly they come out of whatever sort of state they've been in, and they're lucid and they're clear. And it might be that they then go back into that, but you've seen a glimpse. And if you see a glimpse, it's a sign that God wants to permanently do something. And there are other times you're going to be ministering and God's going to break things off people. Some of them are drug damaged. Their minds are drug damaged. Others, it's like demonic. Others, it's just, you know, the wiring inside their brain isn't all there. It's chemical imbalances. And whatever the problem is, if it's physiological or spiritual or due to damaged tissue because of addictions, in the name of Jesus, let the spirit of wisdom be over you and let the anointing be upon you to see people's minds restored in Jesus' name. Father, I just pray even in the next 3 months, there'll be wonderful testimonies of miracles of people being set free from depression, oppression, and any form of mental illness, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
We just release those in the spiritual realm, those miracles of healing from mental illnesses in the name of Jesus.
You know, remember when Peter walked down the streets of Jerusalem and it says his shadow fell on people that were sick? It wasn't his shadow healing him. It was just that there was a zone of anointing around his life. You know, the New Ages would call it an aura, which is, you know, it's just, that's just a New Age term. But it's an anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's the presence of God that you and I carry. When people come into that, you know, have an expectation that the presence of God on you can make a difference. You know, if you have faith for that, it'll activate that presence and it will release something into people's lives who they may not be able to explain it. They'll say things like, I feel such a peace, or I feel a joy, or I feel calm. They won't have the theological language to explain what they're feeling. But just know that you carry the sense of God's presence into those even dark places. And people sense that. So the Lord bless you as you take your presence to those that are held captive. Amen. Why don't we all stand? We're going to finish our afternoon just by worshiping the Lord. And one scripture first.
What has just kept coming to mind is in Revelation, Jesus, it's the seven golden lampstands representing the churches, how Jesus walks among the churches. And just the sense that he wants to continue, he wants to walk among us now at another level, that we will sense his presence. And Psalm 24, Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. And Jesus, we so greatly honor you and focus on you now. And we invite you, Jesus. We open wide the gates of our hearts. We open wide the doors of our church where we are here today and our other churches represented here. And we say, Jesus, come in. Come in and walk among us as the King of glory.